You are about to enjoy a presentation recorded at the 2023 Michigan Conference Camp Meeting held at Cedar Lake, Michigan. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you listen.
Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to be alive in this solemn, very, very solemn time of the earth's history. Father, you have given us the privilege and that miracle when you will bring out of Laodicean condition into the 144,000. Oh, Father, the miracle of miracles will happen in our times. Father, we want to listen to you. We want to hear what you have to say, and we want to follow you. Wherever you go and whatever you show us that we have to do, we want to do it, not questioning, not asking why, but just, if you tell us, just do it. Lord, please bless each family represented here. You know that each one of us here, we are eager to do your will. Teach us, Lord. Speak to us this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Awesome. So, just a brief overview. Yesterday, we have talked about the importance of the three angels' messages. And it's almost redundant for this group. Okay, so here is the work of the secretary. Again, he saw someone else coming in and he said, if anyone did not receive the card, raise your hand and Yaro will run and give it to you. Okay, back there, two ladies, Yaro. Good job, Yaro. Very good eye. So we were talking to this group about the importance of the three angels' messages. It's almost redundant because you guys came here because you believe that the three angels' messages are important. But when you think of it, we had 179 years to preach the three angels' messages. How have we done? Have we done well? Ups and downs. And if you say, do the main news networks, do they know what three angels' messages are? Do the neighbors of our church, immediate neighbors of our church, that we have probably given them food and we have invited them to events, do they know what three angels' messages are? And what are the ways? Of course, we can always say we did give them a chance, they did not accept it. There are some inspired ways how we can distribute the three angels' messages so it's going to be in their possession, and then it's up to the Holy Spirit and them. Because when it says that the judgment will come, God will never judge anyone who had not had access to the full truth. So the full truth will have to be everywhere. And God will have to give multiple opportunities to people to know the full truth. And they would have to reject, and God will have to show that he has given them the opportunities and that they have rejected. Now, what would happen with a neighbor of our church that would say, well, I got the flyer or something and I didn't go, but we never really gotten the three angels' messages in their possession? I believe we need to do everything. We need to do evangelistic series. We need to do health seminars. We need to give food out. We need to dig wells, everything. But we need to place the full three angels' messages into every home of our cities. And then the Holy Spirit will use that. How do we do that? That's what we'll talk about today. But I want to just go quickly. Yesterday we talked why the three angels' messages, and today how to practically share it with share the three angels' messages in 30 seconds. Tomorrow, how to organize a distribution plan with family, church, and friends. Tomorrow we'll have that details and practical approach to how to do it. Because I believe if all of us take this seriously, and we don't only think, how can I do it, but how can I be a channel of multiplication? How can what I know and what I hear multiply for at least 10 people? At least 10 people to be on the same page and to know that now is the time. Okay, I compare our Seventh-day Adventist church to a train. A train has been designed, there is a special design for a train. Is that right? What's the purpose of a train? To take people and load from point A to point B. Is that right? is if you're loading books, great controversy, like we do many times, tons of them in a backpack and in a suitcase, and you're walking and you need to get to a town about 40 miles away, and you have a choice to walk or to catch a train. What's the better option? The train. The train. You put all your load, you sit down and say, oh, what a blessing. But what happens if the train runs out of fuel and you have to push it around? What happens if you have to push? So our Seventh-day Adventist church, I compare it to a train that God has designed perfectly. God has designed our church in such a marvelous way to take us from point A to point B. Okay? But the train has run out of fuel. And we are all, the 22 million, 23 million people, pushing the train. And how, you know, the train is designed to go at 50, 60 miles an hour. And when you push it, how fast do you go? 0.00001. And then everybody who is pushing, we are starting to fight with each other. And one side says, you know, we need to change the wheels. This train is going too slow. They're, welcome. Please find a way, find a space. We're so glad you made it. So within on people that are pushing this train are starting to think of ways, why is it going so slow? And everybody started, have you ever heard people saying, I've been in leadership for 10 years. I've been in charge of the Sabbath school for 10 years. I'm tired. I can't do it anymore. You know why? And then the two groups are fighting with each other who has the best strategy so that the train would go faster. And then we have this wonderful idea to keep adding carts to the train. And everybody is so tired, and when we see carts being added, we say, oh my goodness, how are we going to do it? Friends, the train, the church, has not been designed to be pushed around. It has been designed to run with the fuel that has been promised from above. What a change when the train is fueled up and then you jump on it. That's a blessing, because a church becomes a curse if you have to push it around. And then our young people are leaving the church, or people are leaving the church saying, oh, this church is like, it's not what we thought it would be. Let's look for another one. They will never find another one. The church is the correct church is the vehicle that God has designed. The only problem is that it's out of fuel. Guys, welcome. Come right here. We have one chair. Yaro, do you want to give your chair here to the guys? Right here. The first will be last and the last will be first. Welcome, guys. So good to have you again. I was thinking if you would come or not, and I'm so glad you did. So glad you made it. So, it's not going to happen. Nothing will happen until we understand the true problem of our church, and that we address the problem directly. And you know what's sad? When we invent some strategy, some human strategy, some evangelistic strategy, and we start going from 0.0001 to 0.0002, and everybody starts celebrating and says, now we've found the solution to the problem. And we don't realize that we keep pushing it around, and that we'll never get to heaven, we'll never get to the end times, we'll never get to where God wants us to be without the fuel. We read this text yesterday, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. That is the promise that Jesus left with us. Isn't that right? You remember what was the text that in Acts 1:8, what does it say? But you shall receive power, that fuel that you need so that you don't push it around. Do you know, if you invite people, you push the train around and you invite people, come, come, push with us. How attractive is that? Why do you think our young people are leaving the church? It's not because of the music that we have. It's not because of the pews that they are 1800. You know, some people say, oh, this is so old style, old fashioned. It's not because of that that they're leaving the church. It's because they are not willing to push around. They want to see the real thing. And the real thing is promised to us. And today we'll see, just before we go into the practical side, how. I want to see just a little bit, because we know what the message is. It's the three angels' messages. But if we don't realize that even the three angels' messages given without the power of the Holy Spirit will be here for another 179 years. And I don't want that. And I know you don't either. That's why you're here. We're all here to see what conditions we should fulfill in order for the Holy Spirit to come on us. And here we read this quote as well yesterday. And it says, when we have what? Entire wholehearted consecration to the service of Christ, God will recognize the fact by an outpouring of His Spirit without what? Is that the solution to our problem? That is right there. But here's the condition. This will not be while the largest portion of the church are not laborers together with God. So what I invite you to do here is to be a channel for the fulfillment of this condition. Don't worry about the North American division. Don't worry about your conference. Just concentrate on your church. And sometimes you'll hit a wall with your ideas, with your enthusiasm. You're coming from the camp meeting, all enthused, all puffed up. And you come and say, let's do this. And say, okay, we'll discuss it in the board meeting next month. And you say, I want to start this coming Sabbath. I want to start now. Please be patient and loving. And don't say, oh, then I don't want anything. No. Just be patient. Let's go. And if the church board decides to slam the brakes and not to do anything, do it yourself. Do it yourself. Start doing it and share your testimony, share your experience with someone else. And little by little, you'll start having people who will be joining you. So let's be the channel of the fulfillment of this condition. So now look, this Ellen White describes, because if you're like me, right when I read this quote, right away I want to know what does it mean to be laborers together with God. Because if that's the condition, welcome, good to have you here. If that's the condition to receive the Holy Spirit, I want to know, because Lord, I don't want to do something that's not going to make it. I want to give it right into the target. So then I started searching in all of her quotes if she has anything about what does it mean to be laborers together with God. And there is, and Testimonies for the Church, Volume 9. Thank you, Yara, for helping out with that. So here Ellen White explains what it means to be laborers together with God. And she says, when we follow plans of the Lord's devising, we are laborers together with God. Do you understand that? When we follow plans of the Lord's devising, basically, when we follow inspired plans, not human plans. We have so many human plans. You know, John Bradshaw was saying to a pastor's meeting in Central California Conference, he was saying, pastors, please, please, he said, don't invest, don't think about these fancy methods of Adventist bars or Adventist cafes. He said, I have spoken to many conference presidents and they said it was the worst waste of money. Millions and millions of dollars went into Adventist bars and cafes trying to look just like the world does, and zero baptism, zero converts. Is that the Lord's devising or human devising? Oh, friends, we have so many human devising in our evangelistic strategies. So I believe it is time to look at what the Lord said, What are the inspired methods? Let's do those. And then if we still have time, let's do some of the other ones that we invent. So listen to what she says. Whatever our position, whether presidents of conferences, ministers, teachers, students, or lay members, basically all of us here, we are held accountable by the Lord for making the most of our opportunities to enlighten those in need of what? What is the present truth? Yesterday we were looking at that. The present truth is the three angels' messages, and this is very, very clear in the spirit of prophecy. So, she says, we are held accountable, and look what she says here. And one of the principal agencies he has ordained for our use is what? The printed page. The critics would say, well, this was for the time of Ellen White. Today is the internet. Friends, some things in the Bible and in the spirit of prophecy, we have to take them as principles, and principles are not bound to any time. Keeping the Sabbath, is that for the Jews? That's a principle there. That's a command. How about when Jesus said going door to door, going from house to house, he sent his disciples from house. Was it only for Jesus' time? You know, what's interesting about God's methods, they're never harmful. God's methods of evangelism are never harmful. They're good all around. As you look at God's method, it's just good all around. Now, and I love digital evangelism. We're using it. As a ministry, we're using digital evangelism. But there are some flaws to digital evangelism. What is the flaw? I'm actually spending a lot of time in front of my screen because Streams of Light is all, we operate at a distance. We all work from home, so we do a lot of Zoom meetings. So I spend way more than I would want to spend in front of my screen. Sister, yes? That's true. But I'm talking now to the channel, to us, the ones that want to take the truth out. If I sit in front of my computer and I evangelize, and you can do that through internet, how much of the eight natural laws do I apply right there? Well, maybe water. And maybe rest, because I fall asleep in front of the computer.
A healthy snack,
yes, that could be, sister, I don't know. That could be. But how many of the natural laws you get involved in if you do door-to-door evangelism? You do your exercise? With that backpack on your back, you better believe that you'll exercise. Air, sunlight, water, very good sleep after a good outreach. I guarantee, is that right? People that have done it. And trust in God. You see, it's almost everything, whatever you do, whenever God says do this, it's good all around. And it's that personal contact as well. So here we need to look for the plans of the Lord's devising and to get the largest portion of the church involved into that. This is exactly what we're trying to do. Well, one more quote before we go there. When churches become living, working churches, the Holy Spirit will be given in answer to their sincere request. I know that you're praying for that for your church, that your church would become living, working church. That is our plan of one book in every home in North America by 2026 has in mind exactly this, to activate church members and to activate the largest portion of the church. You know why? Because when this will happen, the Holy Spirit will be given without measure. And then the loud cry will happen. And then soon after that, very, very soon after that, the persecution, and very soon we're going home. So there is a condition. Yes, sister. Yes, those are wonderful. Mark Finley has one. John Lomacane has one. We have so much material to give out. So yes, that could be one of them. It's a wonderful, wonderful material. Why? We suggest hand-delivering the great controversy and not mailing out. Now, is mailing out bad? A bad thing? No, it has its place. Because there are places like gated communities you wouldn't be able to hand deliver there. Like high-rise buildings that have codes at the entrance, you can't get in there. You need to mail out there. Like some rural areas, you know, those are harder. So there is mail out has its place. But there is nothing better than hand delivering in people's hands. So what we have done, we have divided the entire North American division in territories. So every church, we have assigned every church a territory. And every church territory, we have created maps. So these are some maps that we'll be using this coming Friday. For those of you who were not here yesterday, we'll be organizing an outreach. An hour and a half outreach this coming Friday. And we'll get maps like this. And look what it says. It shows the church there. Alma, Twin Cities, Seventh-day Adventist Church. It shows how many houses you see there on the top. 557 houses in this territory. It shows you the distance away from the church where this territory is, 1.1 miles, and it shows you the population of this territory just here. So we are working in a few more weeks. The maps will be ready for the entire North American division for every church. So you'll just go you'll click on our website on your church, and you'll be able to download this maps, ready-to-print maps for your use. Okay, so now we'll go to the practical side. But before we do, just a summary. Friends, I believe that it is time to take God's word and God's promises very seriously. Ellen White says that when we'll feel our need of the Holy Spirit like we feel the need of fresh air, it will be given to us. What does that mean? Did you ever dive a little too deep in the water? And what is the desperation there to get some fresh air? You just go up. You don't say, okay, in about 5 minutes, I would like to get some air. You're up there, and if somebody's on your way, you know what will happen to that person. You just need... How do we feel that desperation for the Holy Spirit? Only when we start working. And only when we see that humanly, we just can't do it. We see that humanly, we try one thing and it just doesn't work. We start working and then we feel our need of the Holy Spirit. For example, now, we're involved. We're onboarding now the Pacific Union. We're organizing Pacific Union wide distribution of the Great Controversy for the fall of this year. And we see how difficult it is. You know, some unions are a little more difficult than others. And sometimes God leads us to start with the hardest. And when we started and when we see how difficult it is, then there comes a desperation for the Holy Spirit. And then it drives us to vigils. It drives us to have days of fasting and prayer. And because there's a need, you see, you've started work and now we're about to print 2 million books. And to print 2 million books, we need $2 million. And the cow is already milked. We have already asked all of our donors for money. And what do you do when the cow is milked and you need more milk? You cry out and you say, Lord, I have no idea. And we've signed by faith. We have signed the contract for the paper on the 19th. The paper is coming, and then we have 30 days after that to pay for the paper. How much do we have?
Zero.
And we have signed the contract with the printing press. So the paper goes straight to the printing press. And then 60 days after that, we need to pay to the printer. So basically, the total amount is about $2 million. How much do we have?
Zero.
So what do we do when something like that happens? Cry out. And the Lord has been so faithful so far. It's incredible to do business with the Lord. For some reason, God never gives you before the time. For some reason, He likes to wait until the last week or the last day. Oh my, and those last days, they are just, you cry out. So That's why the Lord says when we become a working church, because that's when you really feel your need of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's when it's natural. You don't even have to force yourself to do it. It's like, Lord, if you don't come and show up, we'll be done away with. It's just too big and too crazy, because when the Holy Spirit leads you, you will not go for something small that you can do. You know exactly that if it happened, that God showed up. One book in every home in North America by 2026, that's a crazy, crazy idea that humanly it is totally impossible. But with God, it will be done. With God, it will be done. That's why we are praying about for every single conference, 59 conferences. We have engaged in contact in the administrations of the 59 conferences of the North American division. Talking with them, because next year we're planning a division-wide distribution. That means 6,350 churches of our division will be inviting them to participate in distribution. How many of them will respond? I have no idea. Our plan is just to invite. Invite. Yara, come here. Yara will help us with the practical side of things. And I just need to see the time. So, what do we do? We usually suggest, we go door to door. We love going door to door. We'll show some other ways how you can distribute the Great Controversy as well. And why the Great Controversy? We'll talk a little more about that tomorrow. Why we think that in order to distribute the Three Angels' messages, the Great Controversy is one of the best tools. I think it's the best tool, but I'll just say one of the best in order for some of you who are, want to distribute other things, that's fine. So we go door to door. And we usually suggest that we go in pairs. Why? Because while one is speaking, the other is praying. And then we switch. And then a younger one can go with an older one. And the young one is learning. And somebody with experience goes with someone without experience. So that's just a marvelous, marvelous way that the Lord has taught us. So we come to the door. And what do we say, Yaron? Was that more than 30 seconds or less? How difficult is that? Thank you, Yaro. That was very, very good. Hi, my name is Oleg. This is my son, my wonderful son, Yaro. We're delivering a gift in the community. Here's your free copy. Enjoy it. That's it. For some reason, we think as a church that it is so complicated that we have to have almost a doctorate in order to do door-to-door work. It is so simple. It is so simple. And there are three answers that you might get. No, thank you, not interested. Boom. And that doesn't feel good. Because we were not created for rejection. None of us were created for rejection. So when rejection comes, it's uncomfortable. But Yara, do you get used to rejection?
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt anymore. It doesn't hurt. First times when we were going with him and somebody, you would think, you go with a little child. And I usually go with him and a few more of mine. And the little ones, you would say, how will people reject someone like that? They with their little tiny voice, they say there and they say, no, thank you, boom. Okay. And I would look at them. And they would be like, they wouldn't know what to say, what to do. They would just walk away like. But as the time passed, now they just, boom, nothing. Let me ask you, in life, do you get rejections? Is it good to prepare our kids to know how to receive rejections that it wouldn't affect them?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
People, God has given us the best tools to train our kids for practical life. So now this young man, we were in Marathon, the Keys, just a few weeks ago, organizing an outreach. And the elder of the church, basically we paired up there, and the elder was left alone. And I said, and I already promised the pastor that I'll be going out with him. And I said, Yaro, are you willing? Because he was going to go out with me and the pastor. Yaro, do you want to go with the elder and you teach him and show him how to do it? Yep, yeah, I'll go with him. Boom. Right there, he went with the elder and the elder said, oh my, this was quite a lesson. So, So, I mean, this is wonderful. You see, when God gives us His evangelistic strategies, you can have even your kids with you. I mean, digital evangelism, I don't want him there yet. I don't want him in digital evangelism yet. There will come a time, I'll ask him to help me, but now I don't want him there. But when God gives you an evangelistic strategy, it's good all around, and it's healthy all around. It's just so marvelous. So it's just that easy. So basically, you could just leave the seminar now and don't come any other seminar. That's it. You're done. Well, we'll try to show a little more things, you know, in detail, how to organize this, how to respond to objections. Because sometimes the other, I said one answer is no, thank you. Boom, the door shut. The other answer is person takes the book and looks at it, says, what's the book about? So what do you say, Yaro? Do you want to help us with that?
Yeah.
That's it. This book is a blend of history and Bible prophecy. Enjoy it. How difficult is that? Easy. Now, we have few different ways. Thank you, Yaro. That's but you see, even kids can do it very, very easily. Sometimes when I see that the person that asks that question is full of tattoos, their hair is somehow like this, and they have rings here and here, and no, and they have a tattoo of their skull and two bones crossed. You know that that's up to no good. And probably if you tell them Bible, they'll say, no, thank you. We adopted. So what do I say usually in those cases? Yes, go ahead.
This book shows how Christianity strayed away and how to not repeat that.
That mistake. Yes. During dark ages, did the Christianity stray away from the truth? So when we tell them, this book shows how Christianity has strayed away. You know what those people say? Oh, I'll have that book. I actually want that book. So, and you don't lie, because that's true. The mainstream Christianity had strayed away and was killing millions of Christians for the sake of religion. Do you remember something like that written in the book, The Great Controversy? So that's what this book is about. And it shows us how not to go back to that same mistake. Okay? So there are a few ways to respond to that. Then the third option response that the person can say, you just give them the book, say, this is your gift, and they just take it, say, thank you, boom. Your mission is accomplished. What we try to do, we don't try to make people read the book. We're trying to leave the book in people's homes. Why? Because we are told, Ellen White said, that our books will not be, she said, the books will not be read by the people. Then you say, why would, then we distribute it. She says, they will lay it on the shelf, and for years, wouldn't look at them. Let me ask you, how do we feel about that when we're in society of immediate results? Immediate, for example, you post a video on Facebook and you want to see how many likes, or you post a video on YouTube and you want to see how many views it has. Is that correct? How do we feel if we have distributed 100,000 books and we don't have any responses? Is it worth it? We're told they will not read it. They will place it, but it says, I'll give you right now. But Ellen White says, but when the events that are described in the book will start transpiring, she says, then the Holy Spirit will guide people to the books. They'll read them. And then she says, nothing will be able to hold them back. Family ties, religious ties, work, nothing. They'll just go all in for the truth. And then she says, more than 1,000. Will join our ranks in one day, who'll trace their first conviction to the reading of our publications. Yes, ma'am, and then yes, and yes. 1, 2, 3.
We don't have to worry about.
So I'll just say it for the sake of recording. The lady says that we don't have to worry about what happens when we leave the book. And she says, I'm an example of that.
Four generations
of literature evangelists sold The Great Controversy to the great mother. Great mother. What is it? Great-great-mother?
My great-grandmother. And we all lived in that house, all our families at one time, and nobody paid any attention to it. God sent an angel to me to tell me to read a certain book. I didn't know it was an angel till a year later after my mother, I studied with her. She became an Adventist. And she said, Margie, that was an angel. Hmm. And then I cried. But I thought it was my grandmother who was in the beauty shop behind me. There's more to the story. Hmm. But anyway, my point is, don't worry about what's going to happen to that book, because God, if we pray, God will have a special watch care over who gets that book, where it ends up, and he'll take care of it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, ma'am, back there. Hold on just a moment.
I picked up The Great Controversy 8 years ago at a flea market at an Adventist booth. And it took me a few months to read through it because I was a very, very busy person. And by the time I got done with it, almost every page was underlined. And I was thinking, this man is right on point, and this is present truth because this is what's happening in the world today. A few months later, I invited a bunch of friends of mine. 15 of us went to a seminar, and I know two people from that were baptized, and also there were several other people that were baptized, not through my power, but through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because I brought them through the Holy Spirit to the seminars, and they became baptized.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Eight people at least. Wow. Someone else. Who was that?
Just another question.
Yes.
What do you do when somebody looks at the book and says, oh, that's Ellen White. I don't want that.
Very, very good question. And you will have some of those people. If you see, the book comes with a health magazine. Thrive Health Magazine as well. What is the health magazine about? Stress, anxiety, and depression. Do you think people need something like that these days? So if you see that the person is kind of standoffish to religious things or something, you start with this. You give them and say, we have a gift for you. What is this? You can start saying, this is a health magazine on stress, anxiety, depression. Also on the flip back, on the flip side, it has a book, a wonderful, wonderful book. And you can decide if you describe the book or not, depending on what the Holy Spirit, how he impresses you. If the person tells you something about Ellen White, actually one of the evangelical pastors, I went to him and I said, Pastor, we want to share a book. We're missionaries. We want to share a book with each one of your members. He looked at it. Ellen White. I know that very, very well. And I said, what do you know about it, Pastor? And have you had a chance to read this book? He said, no, I haven't read this book. I just heard a lot about Ellen White. I said, how about you read a portion of this book and you let me know if you want your members to have it or not? He said, okay, I'll take it. I'll read it. He has never answered back to me, you know, but he has the book. So what I would tell that person, I would try to say, you know, just read it. If you don't like it, give it to someone else. And if you don't like it then, throw it away. It's just as simple as that. So you can't convince people. Some people will tell you no, no, and you have to respect that. Say, okay. But I'm telling you, I think out of the thousands and thousands and thousands of homes that I have visited, maybe two, have told me something about Ellen White. So it's more of the fear in our mind than in reality happens. Yes, ma'am. Okay, awesome. If they look at the book and they say, who is Ellen White? Here in the book, you have a description, and we would do good to read it. The most translated female nonfiction author in the history of literature, as well as the most translated American nonfiction author of either gender. So you can just give that introduction. Christian author that has written more than 120 books. What religion? We'll talk about those objections in our seminar on Thursday. We'll have tons of objections that we'll be answering, and that's one of them. So how difficult is this? This is easy. Friends, let me assure you, because sometimes our churches, the main fear is finances. You know, we say we can do glow tracks maybe because you can buy 100 for $6. But the books are a little more expensive. How do we do it? You know, I was traveling. Yes, go ahead. It's not my gift. Yes. Yes, evangelism is nobody's gift. You have to develop it. It's just like walking. It's nobody's gift. You have to learn to do it. And how do you do it? One step at a time. You learn. You just boom, boom. And if you don't walk, you'll never learn. And if somebody says, that's not my gift, I wouldn't even try, they'll never learn. So different kinds of evangelism, any type of, and of course, we have gifts. Some people have gift to speak up front. Mission work, missionary work, it's not a gift. It's a mandate. And whenever God tells us that we have to do something, He'll give us, He'll equip us to do what He tells us to do. For example, if God through Ellen White says that this book has to go to every home of our nation, God will provide the money to do it. God never invites us to do something without providing everything that we need to accomplish that. Do you agree with that? I was in Flagstaff, Arizona. I don't know if you have ever heard about Flagstaff. It's up there high, 7,000 feet. And I broke down. My truck broke down. We were driving from California to Florida. And the pastor says, well, since you're here, you're stuck here, why don't you preach on Sabbath? So I preached on the topic that I love, the great controversy, and you know, the three angels' messages. And the elder, the pastor was not there, but the elder, he's a doctor at University of Arizona, and he says, I caught the vision. He said, I want this book in every home of Flagstaff, 26,000 homes. He said, we have two problems. I said, what's the problem? He said, one, finances, because it's a church of 15 members on the books. In reality, 6 members that are coming on Sabbath, and then they have people that come through Flagstaff always, and it's usually about 15 to 20 people in the church on Sabbath. So he says, we are in the red on our books, so how can we do it? And then second, we have calculated, he said, in order for us to put one book in every home, it will take us about 8.5-9 years with the 6 people that we have to distribute it. You can tell that he's very meticulous. They did all the calculations and all. And I told him, Jay and Mike is the treasurer of the church. He was like, Mike was, no, we're not doing this. Because they wanted to do evangelistic series after the distribution as well, put the invitation in the book. And so they calculated, and it was about $55,000. They said, never. I said, guys, I would encourage you, walk by faith. If the Lord has put that on your heart to place a book in every home, He will provide. Just walk by faith. Start it by faith and let's see what happens. So he calls me and he said, hey, we've started. The treasury is still not on board, but I found some help from somewhere. And that gives us a start. So we'll start fundraising for that. Then the conference picked up because this is a church that's going down. So the conference says they're trying to do something, we'll help. And then I called the general conference and I was sharing with them what happened in Flagstaff. And somebody from the literature evangelism department of the general conference says, why don't you organize a mission trip for them just to help them? I said, that's a good idea. So we organized a mission trip. 103 people came to volunteer. In 3 days, every home of Flagstaff had their book. And just a few months ago, I called Mike, the treasurer of the church, and I said, Mike, how do you guys do financially? He said, you know, we spend $0 of our own budget, and we still have $3,000 surplus from the fundraising that we did for the Great Controversy. Friends, you know why we don't see more miracles in our churches? Because we're working so humanly, so planned. We want to have all the money in order to advance. If God tells us to do something, let's do it, and He'll provide. Yes, ma'am. Well, they did get a bunch of Bible studies. They didn't get a lot of new members to come to the church. But what they get, Jay, the elder, he was in Phoenix. And Flagstaff is about 2 hours away from Phoenix. He was in Phoenix at DMV. And he has great controversy with him always. So he was at DMV and he gave a book to the teller. And somebody who was at the next teller there, right next window, the lady there, she says, can I talk to you? Can you wait for us? So Jay waited for her. She said, I received that book. She said, I'm from Flagstaff. And I received it, and she says, my husband and I, we were reading it every day. So Jay texted me, said, you don't know what just happened. Said, I found someone in Phoenix who is from Flagstaff, and they received it, and they said they were reading the book. So it's really, he understands, and he says, look, we don't anticipate a lot, because they did the evangelistic series, and only about 8 people showed up for the evangelistic series. So it was like kind of, but they know that on their part, they did everything for the city. Now they keep going door to door. They keep offering different health, because they give mental health, cooking classes, because his wife is a nutritionist. So they do all of that for the city. Those who know Flagstaff is a very, very, it's a different city. Secular and people with interesting beliefs. So, people all go up there to... Yeah, it's a different city, but they have done what they had to do, and I know that very soon we'll hear many, many things, many testimonies from Flagstaff. Let's just advance a little bit. I need to see what's going on here. We're almost out of time. So let me just go. Ellen White says, I was shown again that the health reform is one of the branches of the great work, which is to feed people for the coming of the Lord. That is exactly what the three angels' messages is. It is as closely connected with the third angel's message as the hand with the body. And you probably have read that before. When we read that as Streams of Light, we said, somehow we need to add a health component to this. At first we were thinking something to add into the book, then said, no, we don't want to touch the book. The book has to come the way it is. And that's how we came up with Thrive Magazine. What's the Thrive Magazine? How many of you have heard about Dr. Nedley, Neil Nedley? Dr. Nedley has written one article. Daniel Bynes and many other people. Then Mark Finley has written the last article here, taking people from mental health to spiritual health, a bridge from mental to spiritual. So that's what it is. Then I just want to show you what you have, because every chapter in the book... At every chapter, you have a QR code. So when people scan with their phones, that's what it will take. The chapter here is different, 25, I didn't put it. But they take them exactly to the chapter that they scan. I think it's good because they wouldn't see it from here. So there they can watch a video related to the chapter. Or they can listen. They can listen to the audio here. Also, what else do they have there once they go? You see there is a menu up there, the three lines to the right there. So what else do they have here? In the menu, they have, about the book, the chapters. They have all the chapters. They have the audiobook that they can listen, the entire audiobook. They can download it. Bible studies. Spanish. If you deliver the book in English to somebody who only speaks Spanish, they can go there, they click and they can download the digital version of the book in Spanish. Then if you meet a person who does not speak Spanish or English, you go here, more languages, and there are more than 180 languages there. And people can get access to AWR, 3ABN, all of that in all of their languages. It's so neat. We were in Detroit, then we were in Houston meeting Muslims in Arabic, and I would go there and they would find their language, and it was so excited to see how, when they start hearing in their language. They get so excited. So that's there. What else is there? You see this option, find the church. Find the church. When the person taps there, it shows them this is where we are, and it shows all the Adventist churches around. You're in Alma, and you have so, and what you can position yourself over the icon, and it gives you the address, the hours when the church is open, and website and all of that. So the idea is to connect people to the Adventist church. What else is there? Bible studies. So they have the option of amazing Amazing Facts Bible Studies, or It Is Written Bible Studies, or Discover Bible. So they have three options of different Bible studies as well. So the idea is to connect people to the world of truth. So what different ways, and we have to finish in maximum 5 minutes, what different ways do we have of distributing? Door-to-door approach, personal, with family, or church, and we'll talk about that, how to organize those. Carrying a box of books in the trunk of your car. Carry a box of books, and you will be in the bank, and you'll start a conversation, and you'll say, oh, hold on, I have a book that I want to share with you. Let me just run to the car, and I'll bring it to you. It happens to me all the time. It's better still if you can carry one in your bag, in your purse, or in your hand. Be intentional. Holidays and special days. We love with the family. We try to take advantage of those. Let me see if we can listen. There is a video, and I don't know if we can have enough audio for that. So this was Christmas this past year in front of Walmart. So let me see if I can make it work here. So this, that's Anya. So the lady said, oh, can I give you a hug? So people are just taking it gladly. So what we did, my wife and the kids, they packed about maybe 150 to 200 books. And we went to Walmart, and in about half an hour, they were all gone. So that's one of the ways, how you can, and you know, they pack them nicely. So that's one of the ways how you can do creatively. Use any opportunity. Ellen White says that we should use all the holidays to present Jesus and the truth to the people. So think of the holidays that are coming. For example, one of the ugliest holidays that we have. How do you call that? October 31st? Halloween? That's a wonderful, wonderful holiday to go to people's doors. Because they're expecting you. Everybody's expecting you to come. You'll even receive some candies if you go. So it's going to be a sweet experience. So just think strategically. It's just time for us to be intentional. But the best thing that we can organize it with our church and have weekly have distributions. We'll talk about this tomorrow and day after tomorrow, how to organize. We'll talk about the inspired methods, how what the Lord told us how to do this work. So this is what we'll do. My desire is to hear from you guys, to hear from you how your church has responded to this and what is happening in your church. We have distributed, I'll give you right now, we have distributed about 3,000 books in Texas in Crowley Church. We went, distributed on one Sabbath, on a special event, and as a result of that distribution, 9 families have started to come to the church. They had many Bible study requests, but 9 families actually came to the church. 3 families have been already baptized, and the others are still studying the Bible. I'm eager to hear what will happen there in Warren Church. I'm eager to hear what will happen in each one of your churches. Can you imagine Seventh-day Adventist Church in North America if every church, or at least 60%, because we're told the largest portion, at least 60%, or at least 51% that we would have of the churches that would do this at least once a month? Can you imagine how our churches would look? And then we would receive the Holy Spirit, and then we would go home. There is a question here.
Going to say that in the last 4 weeks we've started with the same format, and I think we distributed 3 or 4 boxes so far. It's about 120 books. So, and people are very interested, and I like that the format of this book, because sometimes people have prejudice, and you know, sometimes they would read the cover and it's very challenging for them because it can be a Catholic family, for instance, but in this format, it's very simple, and it they cannot read the book just by its cover, but once they open the book, they can actually find that there's lots of blessing, because it's not just about our beliefs as the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which can be challenging sometimes for people because that misunderstanding of who, of what we're proclaiming. But there's lots of history in this book,
and I think
that's very helpful. And that format is actually doesn't say too much, so people can actually discover the truth once they start reading it.
Awesome. I'm so glad that you guys are distributing it. And on Thursday, we'll talk about how to answer objections if there is a Catholic and they say, no, I'm a Catholic, thank you, or no, I'm a Baptist. We'll say how to answer. We'll talk how to answer those. Yes, sir. Very good. Very good. Thank you for asking. Tomorrow we'll have a sign-up sheet. For now, just pray and ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to go? And I'm pretty sure that the Lord will tell you yes. So, I'll give it right now. So we'll have the sign-up sheet, and then we'll explain tomorrow how it will look, how we'll do it, because we'll need vehicles, we'll need backpacks or bags to go and distribute. So we'll give all of that information tomorrow. Yes. Yeah. Good question. Tomorrow I'll have all of that information. As a matter of fact, the ministerial department, they'll give me that information. They told me when to do it. So tomorrow we'll give all of that information. We'll have a sign-up sheet here. Everybody who wants to go will sign up tomorrow for that Friday experience. It's going to be the two classes in the afternoon. The time of those two classes will be taken. Beautiful. Yes. The Alma Church, Pastor David Panyu has talked to Alma Church, to the pastor, so that they can follow up with whatever we can come up with. They're ready to take care of that. So thank you. Just one last thing. Those of you who are not here, we are preparing for the Three Angels Messages Symposium, September 1 through 4. This is in California. So those of you who like to visit California, you always wanted to visit California, this is your best opportunity. This is your best opportunity to be in the Bay Area. I'm inspired by most of these speakers. Only one there that I'm not really keen on, but the rest is a very, very good speaker. So we invite you to, you can scan the QR code or you can go to our website, streamsoflight.net, and check it out, how it is and the rest. Okay, by God's grace, we'll meet here tomorrow with those who want to be here tomorrow. We'll go in depth into how to organize this event. We'll go into inspired method. We'll go into how to answer objections when you're at the door. All of those things tomorrow and day after tomorrow. Any last question? Okay, let us pray. Yara, would you pray for us, please?
Lord, thank you that we had the privilege to be here. Thank you that we have the privilege to be called your children. And thank you that we are living in the last days. Help us to distribute the Three Angels' messages in all the ways we can, with all the people we can, and in all the times we can. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
To listen to more of these presentations, you may visit the audio archives at MISDA.org/audio2023 or search for Michigan Conference Camp Meeting wherever you get your podcast.